I suspect that at least a couple of you, when you saw the cover of today's bulletin, where it says stewardship, real subtly across the cover, you thought to yourself, oh, she's going to preach about giving money to the church today. And then thought, hey, isn't this a little bit early for pledge season? Yes, it is. You still have about, I think, 3 weeks, Bradley? About 3 weeks until you'll receive in the mail a letter, a brochure, a pledge card, and a budget that if we pledge to fulfill it, will fulfill the dreams of our teams. You got 3 weeks until that comes. And though today is the first day of a 3-week series on stewardship, I am not going to speak to your time, your talent, and your treasure. Instead, I'm going to speak to your spark. Or I'm going to invite you to let Jesus speak to your spark. My preaching professor, a child of Iowa himself, once said to us, sometimes you have to let the scripture speak for itself. Sometimes you have to let the story do all of the heavy lifting. And I think this passage from Matthew can do both very well, because it's not hard to understand here what Jesus is saying, particularly once you return it to the full sermon, as Eric pointed out, either the full Sermon on the Mount or this collected series of speeches. It begins way back at the beginning of chapter 5 of Matthew with those Beatitudes, the blessed are's. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus then goes on to talk about, here's our relationship to the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. Here's how you should think about anger, adultery, divorce, swearing oaths, retaliation, and loving your enemies. Then chapter 6, he continues with a lesson on almsgiving, giving to the poor, a lesson about prayer, and that's where we hear him introduce for the first time what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then finally, a portion about fasting. So before we get to this passage, these lessons about lilies and about treasure, Jesus has already painted a detailed portrait about what this kingdom of God we should be striving for looks like. It's a place or a space or a sense or a time when the covenants of old are honored still. Then he goes on to address the anxieties and the acquisitiveness of today. Don't hoard all the goodies. They're just going to wear out or get stolen. Don't worry about what you look like. When has worry ever gotten you another year, day, or even 1 minute of life? Consider instead the lilies of the field. For they neither spin nor toil, but I tell you that not even Solomon in his glory was clothed like one of these. You have all you need to be the flower that you are. Don't grasp for more petals in the soil of humanity's fear. Bloom in love in the soil of God. See? Matthew 5 and 6, they speak for themselves. They speak for themselves. But there's one line in today's passage I'd like to reflect on. It's not nearly as poetic as Solomon's smock being shamed by the lilies, but it reads, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of disease. If then the light in you is diseased, how great is the disease? I don't think Jesus is talking about our actual eyes, but something in us that acts as a lamp. So what is it to act as a lamp? Unlike eyes, lamps don't take in, don't absorb light. Lamps are a container for a light that's intentionally placed within it. A lamp is a broadcaster of a light designed specifically for it. It's as if Jesus is saying there is a lamp in us that is not of us. There's a lamp in us that is not of us, and it carries a light that we need to tend to, a light that we need to steward, because it's a light that's susceptible to degeneration. And if our light degenerates, then all of the other lights are in jeopardy. It's as if God is saying, there is a lamp in you that holds the light of God, says Jesus, saying, there's a lamp in you that holds the light of God, which serves as a bulwark. It serves as a bulwark against a contamination that would shatter and snuff out. And if we do not steward our lamp and our light, we're in trouble. Because if that contamination can shatter and snuff out your light, then it will have that much more of an easy time shattering the lamp and snuffing out the light of another and another and another. If the light in you has degraded, how great is the degradation indeed. If you cannot steward your lamp well enough to keep the light of God shining, no one will know the kingdom of God. Where is the good news in that? By this point in Matthew, we've already got this long, detailed list of expectations from Jesus about how to be a disciple. Expectations about jealousy, poverty, humility, resources, right speech, relational living, works of justice, works of mercy, spiritual practices. There's no small amount of discipline required to be a disciple. And now Jesus adds on more, heaps on even more. Not only do we have to resist the intense pressure of our culture, we also have to tend to a God spark that we didn't even ask for, that isn't a lamp we may not be able to locate, or else beloved kingdom will never come to be for anyone ever in eternity on the planet, the end. No, that's too much. That's too much, Jesus, that is too hard. How can I not worry about what I look like when I'm told that what I look like is wrong? How can I not worry about my next meal when the last meal was not guaranteed? How can I not worry about tomorrow when today has brought so much sorrow? And how can you expect me to believe, Jesus, that I have the light of God in me? How can I, who've fallen so short of the discipline of discipleship, how could I have been gifted with the light of God? Because even though I know as a church we profess God's love is universal, God's grace is everywhere, I suspect that a lot of us believe that we are the exception. That we are the few. Everyone's got God's grace, but not me. I need to work harder. I need to work harder than I ever have even yet to even get a glimpse of that light of God. That is splintered lamp talk. That is the voice of the snuffing dis-ease creeping in through the cracks of our lanterns. Don't listen to it. Listen instead to the child of light. Listen instead to the child of light. Yes, we have a lot of work to do to build beloved community. But Jesus never says anything about having to earn God's presence in our souls. Jesus never says anything here about us having to earn God's presence in our souls. In the midst of all of these directions in this long sermon, all these directions Jesus is providing, he's also offering a description of who and what we are. Jesus is offering a description of who and what we are. You have the light of God in you. Right now, in every single one of you, there is a brilliant spark of divine starlight. In every single one of you in this room right now, and in every room everywhere, there is a brilliant spark, a divine starlight. And it places us in the fabric of the universe, connected to God and to each other. We don't have to do anything to be bound to God and each other by filaments of luminous love. We don't have to do anything to be bound to God and each other by luminous filaments of God's love. That is the good news today. Yes, we will make and we will have countless opportunities to follow through on the to-dos of discipleship. And probably most of the time, we won't get it done. And then eventually, like those grasses in the field, we will wither and we will fade and we will return to the dust and the ash. But in that short time we have, if in that short time that we have, we can truly receive, truly accept the love that God has placed in every one of us through no doing of our own, then the love will continue to shine in the darkness, or in today's case, the love will continue to shine despite the greed, the hatred, the division, and the violence. And none of those will be able to overcome that love. Do not listen to the voices that would shatter your lamp, even if the voice is your own. Because God has placed a light in you. God has placed a light in each and every one of you. Because God has found in you hope. God has found in you a home. Amen.